together. Before we get into the sermon time, though, I was given this morning, and I'd like to take just a separate time because I think it is worthy of that in our service. This is a something that was written by Scott, and I'd just like to share it with you. It says, as we gather on this Inauguration Day Eve, we come before God with hearts filled with hope and prayerful anticipation. We acknowledge the solemn responsibility bestowed on those who are elected to lead our great nation. We ask for His divine guidance to envelop them, that their thoughts and actions may be aligned with His will as they fulfill their duties. Lord, Your word reminds us in Proverbs 3:5-6, that to trust in You and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways submit to You, and You will make our path straight. We implore You to guide our leaders to make decisions that reflect righteousness and justice. Let them be ever mindful of the weight of their oaths, as seen in Romans 13:1-4, where we learn that all authority comes from You, and that those in power are Your servants for our good. Lord, we ask that You would bless this new administration with wisdom and a servant's heart. May truth and transparency be the themes of their leadership, as echoed in Ephesians 4:15, which calls us to speak the truth in love. May they stand firm in integrity, remembering Psalm 25:21, may integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in You. We pray for a unified country, Lord, as we move forward together. In Matthew 5:9, You teach us that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Let this administration be a beacon of peace across our great land, fostering understanding and compassion among all people. As they take their oaths tomorrow, may they carry the heavy mantle of responsibility with grace and accountability. Remind them of 1 Peter 2:13-14, which encourages them to submit to every human authority, recognizing that it is Your design. We entrust them to Your watchful care, knowing that You're ever present and guiding them toward Your favor and grace. In Jesus' name we humbly ask. Amen. Folks, we gather every Thursday morning at the Piggly Wiggly in Beaufort, and we pray for our nation. We pray for the leaders regardless of who is in what office where. We pray for our national leaders and our state leaders and our local leaders. And that is important for us as the church to do. It has nothing to do with who we like or don't like being in the office. It is the fact that this is our nation, and we want it to be the best that it can be. And it can only be that if it is anointed of God. Amen? Because any human being will corrupt it. Any human being will cause it to be less than what it could be. And so we need to be praying that God would have His hand on our nation. And I extend this same prayer to the leaders of our state as they are the people who set laws for us as well. And not only the president and vice president, but the Congress, the judiciary. We specifically speak them in our prayers on Thursday mornings there at the Piggly Wiggly. And that is a very important ministry for us to be doing, praying for our nation. And so just let you know about that. We do gather there weekly, and I'm glad to be able to do that. Thank you, Scott, for that prayer for us. This morning we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we're diving into a topic, folks, that is of great importance to us. And that is that thing of spiritual gifts. You will recognize from the scripture that was read this morning from the Gospel according to John that these spiritual gifts are manifest in different ways at different times. And even Jesus manifests these things. We call them miracles. And these are the same spiritual gifts that Jesus done that we have access to. Jesus was very plain that as I go, you will do works greater than I have done, He said. And we look around and we don't see a lot of them done. And part of that is because we as a people, as God's people, don't look for them. We don't anticipate them. We don't expect them. And quite honestly, we're a little bit afraid of them because we don't understand them. And I think that the presence of spiritual gifts in our world and in our lives changes who we are and brings us more in alignment with who God wants us to be. It is one of the steps and one of the pieces of being Christian. You see, as Christians, spiritual gifts are a great blessing that God gives us, and we can be active and empowered to make a difference in the world we live in, all but the power of God manifest in us through the Holy Spirit. And there's profound power found in the spiritual gifts that God has for us, in our lives and in the lives of others. I got some questions for you this morning just to see if you're searching or if you're desiring more of God in your life. Are you desperate for more Jesus? Do you think to yourself, how can I become more aligned and more attuned to His Spirit and His will for me? Do you desire intimacy with Him? Maybe you don't know how to get that intimacy, but you desire that. Is your heart's desire to hear the voice of God? Do you want to learn how to pray powerfully, especially for others? I've got some good news for you. If any of those things ring true to you, God wants to satisfy your desire. He wants you to be so close to Him and receiving the power and strength from Him for daily living that you would know these things in your life, that you would know an intimacy with God. You see, He wants to open our eyes to see Him more fully so that we can fully participate in fulfilling the Great Commission. He didn't just give that to the disciples. He has given that to His church and to us. It is our responsibility in this day. He wants to anoint us with the fire of His power. Now, last week, we talked about being baptized with water and with fire. And we talked about the fire was the power that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. And it's a power that encourages and enlightens. It's a power that drives us and gives us strength where we would not otherwise have strength. It is that fire that we need to seek in our lives. You see, God wants to give us a fresh anointing of fire so that our hands can become the hands of those who serve God's people all around the world. And I say God's people because He has created everyone, not just the ones that come and attend a church or bow a knee to Him even, but those who don't know Him. He has a claim on them, because He has designed them and stitched them together just like He did me and you. He wants to impart to us His heart so that we can share His love with all of His creation. He wants to commission us to be carriers of His glory to all the world. He wants us to know His presence. Understanding the spiritual gifts that are available to us begins with recognizing that they are not natural talents that we possess of ourselves. That these are gifts of God through the Holy Spirit, and that we are, as believers, the recipients of these. And God has promised that as you believe, you will see these spiritual gifts manifest in your life. They will be given to you. And they depend on how strong your faith is. And they're given to us with purpose. And that purpose is the building up of God's body in this world. These gifts are divine endowments that are bestowed upon us when we accept Christ as our Savior in our heart. They're not earned or deserved, but freely given by the grace of God for all who call on His name. And they literally manifest God's grace and God's love in our lives. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, we're going to be looking at the first 11 verses. And it gives us a glimpse of the variety. Folks, just a little smidgen of the different kinds of gifts that God has for us. Let's look at God's Word together. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Some versions say ignorant of them. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another by faith, the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Folks, God knows exactly what we need and what the circumstances of our lives and the circumstances that He's going to put us into need as far as spiritual gifts, that He manifests those things that we need into us. I've got a question for you this morning, another one. Can you say with me this morning, Jesus is Lord? Then hallelujah, that means that the Spirit is working within you. We present here know the Spirit in us. That's what Scripture has said. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the church there at Corinthians, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, emphasizes that there are different kinds of gifts, but that they come from the same Spirit. If we look at verse 4 up there, we'll see that it is the same Spirit. And you know what that means? That means that no gift is superior to any others. And he's listed a whole bunch of gifts, but none of them make one, the person who manifests this gift greater than the other person who manifests a different gift, or perhaps no gift at all that is visible right now. This is another thing about the spiritual gifts, folks. Sometimes they are visible, and sometimes they are not visible. Sometimes they are manifest in a very real and direct way, and sometimes they are in the background, keeping us afloat while life attacks us. Don't think that a spiritual gift is that thing that you have to call down the fire of heaven so that you can prove that it's there. No, a spiritual gift is something that you recognize within you, and it's difficult sometimes to see them. And sometimes it doesn't come except by trial and by fire, and that's the fire of the Holy Spirit allowing us to fire back. Because Satan will bring fire into our lives. Each gift is equally valuable, but all of God's gifts are required for His body, the church, to be effective. And that means that we must work together. Not only work together as this church in this place, but work together as God's children and God's church around the world. And we do that. We reach out to denominations that are not like ours, to people who don't speak the same language that we do. We do much of that. But we've got to intentionally know that God calls us to these things. I've given a couple of them, but we also reach out to people who are completely different, of different social backgrounds than most of us sitting in here are. We try to show God's love to everyone around us. Now, as we look at Scripture this morning, we see there in verse 4 that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And look, varieties of service, but the same Lord. Let's move on to verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but again, the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Now, folks, this is some important words here. It is God who activates them. They are supernatural, and they are for everyone. They're not for a select few, but for everyone who calls on the name of God. We have a relationship with God, and in that relationship, we have access to the power. And then to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. Now, that's another point about spiritual gifts that you need to know about, church. Spiritual gifts are not given for the edification or for the building up of one person. They are given for the good, the common good of the whole church and God's whole church in the world. It is not something that we are there to just receive the benefit from. That is real also. The spiritual gifts of God are real in our lives. Let's move on to verse 8. We have some get an utterance of wisdom, an utterance of knowledge, another, faith. Faith. Look, I want you to see that this right here, faith, is listed as a spiritual gift. Faith, when everything else flies away from us. Faith, when our house burns to the ground and takes everything that we own with it. Faith to not give up, to continue to trust in the Lord, to continue to be His children and work for His kingdom. Faith, that is a wonderful gift of the Spirit. I hope that you know the gift of faith. Because I think this is one of those gifts of the Spirit that I think every believer gets to some measure. And some, yes, are stronger than others. But every believer gets that gift. And by the same Spirit, another one gets the gifts of healing. You see, stuff like that is something that we tend to mark out and call out. We see that being a very active and flamboyant gift. Maybe one that we desire. But look, with each one of these gifts comes a responsibility. If we go back to faith and you see that faith is a gift, faith comes with responsibility to respond in faith if you have faith, to respond to the world by faith, to respond to the circumstances of our lives by faith. Let's go to the next scripture. I want to get through it. I want to make sure. All right, so some have the working of miracles, and to another, prophecy. Prophecy is something we don't hear a lot about, but I'll promise you it's just as strong in our world today as it ever has been in the world. If we would be attuned to it and listen to it, God will tell us what He wants us to know and to be prepared for. And to another, the discernment of spirits. Now, folks, I know specifically a person who has this gift. They have the ability to see beyond that which is on the surface of people's tongues. And I respect him tremendously. To another, interpretation of tongue, or to another, various kinds of tongues. We hear a lot about that. That's probably the most misinterpreted and most abused gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not just some blabber. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is given for purpose, and that purpose is always for, what did it say? The common good. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not a gift of tongues that you pray in your silent, in your time when you're by yourself or when you're just praying for the Lord. It's called a prayer language. And yes, that is real and that is valid. But whenever it is in public, folks, it is for the common good. And that means that there's not only going to be various tongues, but also another to interpret the tongues. And I have experienced it personally in public when there was somebody who was completely disconnected who had the interpretation for the tongue. I know that it is real. Now, as we look at this scripture this morning, verse 11, I want to make sure we hit verse 11. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit in every person. That one Spirit is the Spirit of Almighty God who allots to each one of us as the Spirit chooses. The Spirit knows what we need and when we need it. He knows when we need that extra measure of patience, even though it seems to be fleeting. Mostly it's fleeting when we're relying on our own power. I had had about enough yesterday of Elijah. My patience got thin. Somebody called on the phone. I said, look, I just got to get off this phone. I can't talk on the phone with all this going on. My patience was getting thin because I was relying on myself. I wasn't looking to the Spirit. Not that Elijah was doing anything wrong. He was just being Elijah. If you don't believe that can get on your nerves, I'll give it to you for a 24-hour period without medicine. The first step for us to understand, folks, spiritual gifts is to realize that they are given for the common good and they're not for the benefit of an individual. And that's really important about spiritual gifts. That is the real key part that so many preachers and teachers fail to recognize. You see, it is given for the benefit of the person receiving the gift, but not solely for that person. See, for that person, it does lift them up. It meets their needs and helps them grow in faith. But it does the same thing for others. And if it does not do the same thing for others, then I'll be honest with you. I have to question, is it a real gift of the Spirit? Because Scripture is clear that it is for the common good. Now, another important aspect of understanding spiritual gifts is to recognize that they are dynamic. They grow and shrink as we exercise our relationship with God. Just like lifting weights for a bodybuilder, the more you lift weights, the bigger the muscles grow. If you quit lifting weights, those muscles will shrink. I had a very good friend who was a mentor to me, though only a few years older than I was. And he was a bodybuilder until MS attacked his body at about age 18. He continued to work out and lift weights, and he had a wonderful build, strong arms, and a good stature. Fortunately, he has the kind of MS that progresses super slowly. He's still living today and doing very well, but he's not as big a man as he used to be. He's not able to be. And the same thing happens with our relationship with God. It gets stronger as we use it and exercise it in prayer, in reading His Word, in submitting to Him, and trying our best to be obedient. It is dynamic. And this is why it's important not only to identify our spiritual gifts, but to put them into action. Understanding spiritual gifts also involves recognizing that we do not all have the same gift. And at different times in our lives, different gifts may be manifest depending on the situation that we're in and what God wants us to do at that moment. There are spiritual gifts that are with us that really help shape our personality. And then there are those spiritual gifts that God gives to us to handle a specific circumstance. I've seen all of them at work in people's lives, and I have known all of them at work in my life. Things that come up and I know and I'm able to understand for a period of time. And then I can remember that I understood it. I understood how it was going to happen. But I don't need that anymore. And the Lord removes that. You see, there is a diversity of gifts in the body of Christ. Just as the body has many different parts, each with its own function, so God's church has many different people that are the parts with all different kinds of gifts and blessings of the Lord. This diversity is not a cause of division among us, or should not be. And it should not be that some say, well, I have a spiritual gift and I don't. Look, that's the way I was first confronted with spiritual gifts. It was looking down the nose at me. Have you received this gift of tongues yet? Nope. What is that? I mean, you know, I was 17, 18 years old. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, you're one of them. No, because sometimes, folks, I want to tell you, you can be a committed Christian and the spiritual gifts that you have are within you to keep you going, because at some point, it might be 10 years down the road, you're going to need a strength of character to help build God's kingdom, and He's working within you. It just hasn't become outwardly manifest yet. And I don't care what age you are, if you're 99 years old and you haven't seen that manifestation yet, don't give up. You don't probably even know what you have come through in the spiritual realm because of those gifts of God. Then understanding the Spirit requires us to be open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit not only gives us gifts, but also directs us in how to use them. It is just as natural to exercise these gifts when they're manifest in our lives as breathing. Sometimes, though, they catch us by such surprise that it is so out of the ordinary to exercise one of these gifts that it absolutely crumbles us. Because we have to give up on society's expectations and people's expectations and our own expectations and allow God to have His work through us. And so when a blessing of the Spirit comes on you, yield to it. Be committed, because it will catch you off guard. It has me. If I do that, this will happen. Oh, the walls might fall down. I mean, you know, things like that. But His gifts are real. And as we seek to understand spiritual gifts, we need to be in prayer about that. We need to be in constant prayer with our Maker, to be in relationship with Him. We need to be in communion with Him in the Spirit. You know, one of the reasons that we observe Holy Communion, the reason Jesus said, observe, do this in remembrance of Me, because in communion, we remember that God is real. And when we take in the body and the blood, we are acknowledging that He was real and for us, and that He made a real sacrifice for us. It connects us with Him. It's more than some ceremony. It is an act of spiritual obedience when we do that. Recognizing spiritual gifts in your lives is a unique encounter between each person and God. And it begins with an awareness of God's presence in our lives and a willingness to surrender to His will. The surrender is not a passive act, but an active submission. We have to choose the submission, and then we have to give the submission. And we allow Him to shape us, to mold us, to equip us with the spiritual gift that we need to fulfill the divine purpose that God has in plan for us. Amen? You see, our understanding of spiritual gifts is often accompanied by some deep sense of calling or purpose. It's as if God anoints us fresh and new to be able to accomplish the things that He would have us accomplish. But we need to wait until we're ready to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. And like a divine seed that's been planted within us, it has to be nurtured through prayer, through God's Word, and through obedience. And as such, it begins to grow. And it becomes real and a part of who we are. Now, this growth is not always comfortable or easy. God will call you to do things and go places that you never thought you would go, to understand things that you don't think you need to understand, to bear with people that you would rather not be around in order for your gift to be able to be manifest. It often involves periods of struggle and doubt as we wrestle with the gifts that God has for us through our limitations and our fears. But it's through this struggle that the Spirit often opens the door of heaven on us. and then brings us to a refining fire so that we come out pure, His, and useful. Understanding and appreciating the gifts that God has given to us is an important step for us. Theologian John Stott once said, "We must be global Christians with a global vision because our God is a global God." Now, John Stott died in 2011. He said this long before the Global Methodist Church ever came into being. He was talking about the universal call of all Christians to work together and to realize that we're not some subculture, some better than others, or anything like that, but that we must recognize the validity of every person standing before God. Regardless of culture, race, or social class, God's gifts manifest themselves on whomever God chooses at any moment. And when we attune ourselves to the spiritual gifts that He gives us, we become a part of God's global mission. And we become channels of His love and His grace and His power, bringing hope, bringing life and healing to people wherever we meet them. It's beautiful and powerful as we see it manifest and working, not just for our own personal growth or enlightenment, but for the transformation of the world. As we nurture those and live into them and we surrender to God, we benefit greatly from His presence and His guidance. And those gifts are not just abilities, but they are, you need to understand, they're conduits of divine power that come into this world. Trying to see here where I am in this. Ephesians 4:12, Paul tells us that these gifts are given to equip the saints with the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. And we've talked about that and reflected on that. They actually reflect the character and nature of God in us so that the world may know God. And the last thing that I want to tell you about them, it is not confined to the walls of the church. These spiritual gifts are given to people. And people interact with other people. As they interact with other people, regardless of where, then these gifts become manifest. Not just sitting in a gathering together. It is something that changes folks who we are as God's children and as people in this world. And so I want you to be ready to channel God's love, to submit to His authority, to receive His awesome power, understanding, and authority so that it can be distributed and useful in this world, that His kingdom may be grown. For all of this is Jesus' work in us, and it is in His name that we have our being. Amen and amen. Thank you.